Romans chapter 6, Galatians chapter 5. Romans 6 and Galatians chapter 5. While you're turning there, let me say something as you're finding your place. We're going to talk a little bit tonight about enjoying your freedom. Enjoying your freedom. You know, sometimes I've been saved now, working on 25 years here in the next month and a half or so. And I found in my own Christian life that if I'm not careful, I will focus on what I've done wrong rather than who I am. And I'll get focused on all of the things and failures of life and stop focusing on what I am and what Christ has made me to be. And when He died and was crucified and I put my faith and trust in Him, He did that to make me free. And did that so that I might enjoy my freedom. Not be miserable in the Christian life, but enjoy the road from salvation to glory. And that's what I want to take a look at tonight, if you would. Stand with me, Romans chapter 6, verse number 18. Read one verse there, and then we'll read Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. All right, if you found your place in Romans chapter 6, verse number 18. The Scripture says, "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." He said, "I freed you from sin so that you now have the capabilities of serving me like I designed you to serve me. Because without me you couldn't, now you can." He said, "I freed you from that." Now, take your Bible, if you would, and look at Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 1. The Scripture says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." He contrasts two different things in these verses, particularly in verse number 1 of Galatians chapter 5. He contrasts liberty and freedom with bondage. He said, Jesus has done His work. Salvation has set you free, and we are not to go back and entangle ourselves again with bondage, imprisonment. I've been freed from that. He said, "I saved you to enjoy your freedom." That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Father, bless our time together tonight. And again, what a privilege it is to be saved. All the benefits of heaven, all the benefits of glory that come our way because of salvation, what Jesus Christ has done for us. We're grateful for it. Would you meet with us tonight, Lord? Teach us something from the Bible, we pray. In Jesus' name, I pray it. Amen. You may be seated. James Lee spent 22 years in the penitentiary for armed robbery. James was paroled, but struggled the entire time that he was out. He had spent 22 years in prison. Prison life was all he knew. All he knew was captivity. All he knew was hardship. All he knew was struggling in his life. But the word came that by judicial act that James had been paroled. He was so excited because he was about to be free. He'd spent 22 years in prison being told to do this, to do that. Very little freedom inside. And he was told he's going to be paroled. They gathered his stuff together and paroled him. And he stepped outside the prison, was picked up by a family member there that day. James went from relative to relative. He went from job to job trying to adjust to freedom. It took a long time because 22 years of bondage and hardships, all he knew. All he knew was captivity. All he knew was struggle. So it took him some time trying to get adjusted to freedom. You see, James Lee was afforded freedom by judicial act and being paroled and could have started over. Could have started life afresh and anew and got a new beginning in life. By the way, that's exactly what salvation does. It gives me a chance to make it. It gives me an opportunity to be able to participate and experience what freedom is. You see, James had an opportunity to start life over. But like I said, he went from job to job, relative to relative. He couldn't hold a job. He was paranoid. Everything just seemed to be going downhill for him, and it wasn't long till James committed another crime that put him back in prison. Now I want you to think with me for just a moment. Here's a man that had been in prison 22 years. He gets out in a very short time because of all of the things he could not get adjusted to. He went and committed another crime that would put him back in prison and got entangled again in what he got out of. The very thing that he despised while he was in there, he committed another crime to get back in. Why? Why would somebody do that? Why would he intentionally violate the law to be put back in prison? You see, he had such a great opportunity to start over. But you know what James Lee's problem was? James Lee's problem was he didn't realize what he had. You see, he didn't realize the value of freedom because 22 years of imprisonment's all he ever knew. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. My brother, who is 5 years older than me, back when we were kids, from about 12 till about the time he was 17, 18 years old, he got involved in a card club, like a baseball and football card club. This was back, I guess, in the late 60s, early 70s. Well, when you got involved in these card clubs, these sports card clubs, you could actually send a card off and get a professional athlete to sign that card, and then they would mail it back to you. And he was in a club that did that, and he had posters with signatures on them. Man, he had all kinds of baseball cards and football cards signed by Hall of Famers today. Thousands and tens of thousands of cards. No telling how much they'd be worth today. When he turned 18, he enlisted in the Navy. He didn't have time for the card club anymore. He didn't have time to send cards off. So he took all of his cards that he figured had absolutely no value to him and gave them all away. Now, when we gather for Thanksgiving or Christmas, we don't talk about card collecting. Because when he looks at the prices on some of the cards he had with original signatures on them, posters with original signatures, he had posters all around his room. My brother's name is Terry. They were addressed. Terry, best wishes, signed this person. Thousands upon thousands of dollars he had right in his fingertips. You know what he did with them? He gave them all the way. You know why? You know why he gave them all away? He didn't realize what he had. He didn't realize what he had in his fingertips, and the cards didn't mean anything to him, so he gave them all away. Can I say something to you tonight, church? Many of us don't realize what we have in freedom in Jesus Christ. We just kind of cruise through life. We don't realize what we have been given, the freedom that we've been given because of Jesus Christ. I want to use this story of James Lee tonight, by the way, which is a true story that was relayed to me. I changed the name because I obviously would not use the man's real name. But he's in prison tonight. And you know what he told me? He said, I did it intentionally to get back in. Now let me tell you why I believe that James Lee struggled with the outside and with freedom. And I want you to put yourself in his place in your Christian life and see if some of these things don't relate to you and I today. First of all, I think one of the reasons James struggled with freedom, like many of us struggle with freedom, is this. Number one, he was impatient with the growth adjustment process. Here's what James wanted. James wanted everything to fall into place without any opposition. When he stepped out of prison, he wanted everything to be right there at his fingertips, a job, family to embrace him, money in his pocket, car. He wanted everything to fall right into place. Got news for you, don't work that way. But that's what he wanted. And James began to become impatient with the growth process. what it was going to allow him in order to reach a place where he could adjust to the outside world. He got impatient with it. May I ask you this? You ever get impatient with your growth in your Christian life? Do you feel that maybe you should be a little bit further down the road than where you are right now? And the growth process, you get frustrated with yourself. If you're like me, you look at yourself in the mirror every morning, you think, man, you're sorry. Because you know what? Most of us think we ought to be a little bit further down the road. And by the way, most of us could be further down the road if we would just be patient with the growth process. You see, he wanted instant results. See, he wanted just a few months of freedom to offset 22 years of imprisonment. And it don't work that way. He wanted everything to just be gone in a matter of months. You see, time became his enemy rather than his ally. And just a few months later, James Lee was back in the penitentiary. Why? Because he became impatient with the growth adjustment process. The reason some of us, you know what happens? The reason some of us get entangled with those sins that so easily beset us and those vices of life is because we, like James, get impatient with the growth process. We want to be further down the road. Isn't it amazing how when you were young, you were so anxious to grow up? Man, I want to be an adult. I found out it ain't all out it's cut out to be. Because I found out when you become an adult, people want more money from you. You got to pay bills. There's other expenses. Man, when I was a kid, I didn't care about money. I didn't care about where the food was coming from. That was all given to me and supplied for me. Man, I'm telling you, when I became an adult, man, things changed. And the reason that James struggles, maybe the reason some of us struggle in our Christian life, because we get impatient with the growth process. Number two, he became paranoid of people. He became paranoid of people. You know what he was? He was so concerned, Brother Shaddix, about what everybody was thinking about him. Nobody knew he was an ex-con. Nobody knew. But he thought everybody knew. And he became paranoid about everybody and what everybody was thinking. He couldn't deal with his own conscience because he was so concerned about what everybody thought about him. And may I say something to you, folks? You're here. You were saved to please one person only. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. If you'll please Him, if you'll be concerned about pleasing Him, you won't be concerned about what everybody else thinks. You won't be concerned about whether somebody thinks that you ought to be doing this or ought to be doing that or you ought to be here or ought to be there. You see, paranoia put James back in the penitentiary. It put him back becoming entangled again in bondage that he just got released from because he was so concerned about what everybody think. He thought that everybody knew his record, everybody knew his past, and nobody knew his past. They didn't even know him. The only people that knew his past was his relatives. But he thought everybody knew. And he thought everybody was judging him because of what he thought that they knew about him. You see, he thought that everybody was labeling him or profiling him. Let me tell you something, folks. When I realized I was raised in a religion, you could never know you were saved. When I found out that you could be saved and all sins past, present and future forgiven, I went crazy, man. Because I had spent 23 years thinking that you had to do something to retain salvation. That Jesus put the down payment, but I had to continue making payments on it. You see, James, maybe like some of us, we become paranoid of people. We come to church, instead of pleasing God, we're concerned about what everybody's thinking and what everybody's doing. Folks, let me tell you something. I got enough to say grace over in my life. I don't have time to be chased around finding out what everybody else is doing. My whole job, I'm just trying to keep Brother Todd straight. And that's a full-time job. If you don't believe that, ask my wife. You're talking about high maintenance. I'm high maintenance, brother. You see, he became paranoid of people. His focus, he had lost his focus of enjoying his freedom, and he was so concerned what everybody else thought that he began to turn everything inside, committed another crime, ended back entangled again because of it. Let me tell you something else I think James struggled with in freedom. I want you to listen very carefully to this. His thoughts of the security of his past overcame the possibilities of his future. You see, when he was back, now folks, listen, some of you need to take time out, some of you men need to take time out and take a trip with us to the Ellis unit. You'll understand everything I'm talking about here. You take one trip. Because it's not like some of you think. 3 meals a day. Most of them have access to computers, libraries. Most of them have plasma screen TVs, not in their cells, but in different pods and things. Listen, it's not like you think. They're not walking around in black and white stripe with a ball and chain on their leg. It's not like that. You know what James started thinking? Because he wasn't enjoying the freedom, he started thinking, you know what? I had 3 meals a day back in prison. I had clothes to wear. I had somebody take care of me. I had a job. I had all of these kind of things and stuff. Man, I didn't have any cares in the world. But man, he found out when you got out here in freedom, there was a different story out here. You see, there was actually responsibilities. You see, when he was back in prison, he didn't have any responsibilities in bondage. And he began to think, and by the way, like some of us do, you know what? When I was lost, I didn't seem like I had it near as bad then as I do now. You know why? Because you didn't have the devil on your case then. You do now. See, when you got saved, you might as well have gone to Walmart or you might as well have gone to Academy and bought you a full-size Target and put on your vest, because that's exactly what you are. You are a walking Target now. That's what we are. And so when James got out, those freedoms, the security of his past overcame the possibility of his future. Listen, folks, freedom. He had an opportunity to start over. He had an opportunity to start over in his life and make something of himself. But you know what happened? His thoughts, he began to get entangled in his mind again about his past and about how easy it was back there and about how no responsibilities and this and that and the other. And he ended back entangled in prison. May I say it to you, number four. He felt he had no support to help him stay free. Let me say that again. He said, I didn't have anybody that encouraged me to stay out. So you know where he went back to? He went back in. Because there was nobody, not even his relatives, not even people that said they loved him, were willing to help him grow and get out and stay out. Let me tell you what that means, folks, to us today in the church. There are people in our church and in Christendom all over this world that are struggling to stay free. I mean, they're clawing, they're scratching, they're doing everything they can to try to stay on the freedom side of their Christian life and not be entangled again with the world. And listen, you know what? Yeah, they may pull a cigarette out now and take a puff off. I saw you. Yeah, but you know what? They may go down, slip up time, go buy a six-pack somewhere. But you know what? You know what my job and your job is? You know what the problem is? The problem is they're struggling with their freedom. They're struggling to stay free from those vices and entanglements of the world. My job is not to kick them back in prison. My job is to try to help them stay out. Now, James' problem was he felt he had no support. You know, Galatians chapter 6, if you're still in the book of Galatians right there, I want you to look at this. Brethren, he's speaking to us. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know what one of my jobs is? My job is to try to help people stay free. My job is not to try to get them back entangled. My job is to keep them free. and to help them, be a friend to them. My goodness, folks, that's a whole different sermon, just trying to understand what is a Bible friend. What is a friend? We're not going to turn there, but 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 talks about that we're to comfort one another with the same comfort that we get from God in our time of need. He felt he had no support to help him stay free. Then may I say number 5, he willingly went back into bondage. Once he evaluated the situation, he became impatient with growth. He became paranoid with people, and his thoughts of the security of being in prison and bondage overcame his possibilities of freedom. Nobody seemed to help him want to stay free, so he willfully went back in. Let me give you a mental picture. One of my favorite old black and white shows, of course it went color later, but one of my favorite old black and white shows was Andy Griffith. But you know, since I have a demented mind, many of you say, oh, my favorite character was Barney Fife. Mine was Otis Campbell. Now, I want you to look. Here's the thing about Otis. Otis was the town drunk. And he'd get drunk every weekend. And listen, Andy and Barney decided, you know what, he's just taking up too much of our time. So they worked out a deal with him. That when he got drunk, you just make your way down to the jail, take the keys off the wall, open the cell, pull the door to, shut it, reach out, hang the keys back up, go to bed. When he got sober, you know what he did? He woke up, he reached outside, got the keys, let himself out, shut the door behind him, on his way he went. Did that every weekend. But can I say something to you about Otis? Otis let himself in, and he let himself out. And can I say to you tonight, you let yourself in, and you let yourself out. And the thing about it is, you and I do willfully. We do these things willfully. Hey, nobody, I didn't see Barney with his one bullet putting his gun. I didn't see, he didn't have that up against Otis' head. Hey, it was a coming in, coming out, coming in, coming out. He did it of his own free will. And you know what? If you go back into bondage, you won't do it because of someone else helping you. Many of you and me would do it out of our own free will. Nobody will force us. Let me give you a couple of things here and I'll be done. Give you an illustration and be done. When we talk about freedom, freedom doesn't mean that I can do whatever I want without consequences. When the Bible says that I'm free and I'm to stand in that liberty and stand in that freedom, it doesn't mean that I can do whatever I want without consequences. Heard an old preacher say this, and listen, you know, after you get saved, a guy told him, says, listen, I don't believe you Baptists because you people believe that you can get saved. You can go do anything you want to. He said, you know what? That's exactly right. You can do anything you want to after you get saved as long as you're willing to pay the price. If you're willing to pay the price, have at it. Because there are consequences, my friend, for you and I. The scripture talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 16 that we're not to use our liberty as a cloak of
maliciousness.
We're free to enjoy it, not to abuse it. You see, freedom does not give me the right to impose my will upon someone else's. Just because I'm free and I'm free in Christ, it does not give me the right to impose my will on someone else's will. Freedom does not mean that I'm to expect God to do everything and I do nothing. Now, where did we get that idea? We didn't get it from the Bible. That God, hey, well, I expect God to do everything and I don't have to do anything. That's not freedom. But let me tell you what freedom does mean. Freedom does mean that I have access to the power of God to do His will. Because before that, I didn't have access to it. Without Christ, I didn't want to do His will. I didn't care about His will. But because of salvation, because of freedom now, I have access to that power to do His will. Freedom does mean that I now have access to the throne of God. And the Scripture tells me, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16, that I can come boldly before the throne of God. Boy, you know what I can find there? Mercy and help in time of need. That's where I find it. See, before I didn't have access there. You see, freedom does mean that I'm free of all past sin, all present sin, all future sin. You say, why would God do that? Because that way He frees my conscience up to serve and enjoy my freedom. Because, see, lost people can't enjoy themselves because they're in bondage. They're in prison. Their conscience torments them day and night. And God freed me from that so that I could serve Him with a clear conscience. You see, freedom does mean that I now have the spiritual ability to help others and be a consistent witness. Would you take your Bible and turn back, if you would, to Galatians 5, verse number 13? Galatians 5, verse number 13, it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." He says, don't use it to do something that's going to hinder you or hinder the brethren. He said, use it in love to help one another. He gave you and I the freedom to do that. And may I say in conclusion tonight, church, that God, by His divine act of grace and salvation, freed me from my affections and lusts. He opened my cell door that I lived in for 23 years of misery. And He opened that door and let me go free. Now, when I got free, guess what? I had the choice to go back and get entangled again if I want to. I have the choice in my Christian life to pull an Otis Campbell if I want. I can go lock myself up. I can go back in and open the cell, get in and shut it behind me, and become in prison again and entangled in the world again. Let me give you this final illustration. Read the story some time ago of a little boy. Went in his backyard and found a little bird that had fallen out of the nest, and just a little old bitty thing. And of course, a lot of times the mama won't come back after the baby, particularly if people mess with it and stuff. So he went inside and found his father and said, "Dad, would you come out here? And do you think that I'd be able to take this bird and nurture this bird to help?" So he said, "Son, normally it doesn't work, but we'll give it a shot." So they took that little bird, and Dad went to the hardware store and bought a little cage for that bird. And they begin to nurture that bird. They begin to feed it and pamper it for weeks. And his dad told the boy, said, "Now, son, this bird is wild. This is one, wasn't one that was brought up at Petland, you know." He said, "This bird is wild." And he says, "There's going to come a day that we're going to have to let this bird go free. We're going to have to let him go to go out and be what God made him to be. He wasn't made to live in a cage. He was made to be free." After several weeks of care, it now came time. Dad said, "Son, it's time to let the bird go. He's old enough now and he can take care of himself." And they took the cage to the backyard and set the cage down. And the dad said, "Now, son, I want you to open the door and step away from the door." And he opened the door to the cage. And the little bird that he had picked up in the backyard and had nurtured and fed and cared for all of those weeks, the little boy opened the cage door and they stepped back. And his dad said, "Now watch him, son. He's going to take off and go back out into freedom, back out to where he belongs." To the dad's amazement, as they watched that bird, the bird never moved. He just stayed perched on his little perch in his cage, door wide open. So the dad went up there and said, "Well, I'm going to give it a little nudge." And he nudged the cage a little bit and shook the bird. Some bird never let go, just stayed right there on his perch, door wide open. He said, "I don't understand, Brother Todd. When that stupid bird, why didn't he go free? I mean, the whole world was waiting on him, and he wants to be confined in this little bitty cage?" You see, may I say it to you, church, that bird has the same mentality that some of us have. You see, he had become so accustomed to the cage that he didn't realize that he was born to be in the wild. He didn't realize that he was born to be free. He thought he was like any other caged bird. And with the door open, he had the opportunity to fly. He wouldn't leave the cage. He wanted to stay there because he was comfortable. He was secure. You see, that bird had become so accustomed to being in a cage and that lifestyle, he didn't know about freedom. And I'm here to tell you tonight, dear friends, some of us, including this preacher right here, we get in our comfort zone in our Christian life. And we get living a certain way in a certain lifestyle. And sometimes we don't realize the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. You say, oh, I've tasted just a little bit. Well, that little bird was missing out on the greatest enjoyment of his life, and that was freedom. He had no idea what was waiting on him out there because he'd been so confined to that cage all of his life. And I'm here to tell you tonight, enjoy your freedom because God has an incredible blessing out there for you and I. Don't be like the little bird. Jesus Christ has opened that door. You're free to go and free to enjoy and free for His provisions and His blessings in your life. And God has all of that available. Don't stay in the cage. The door's open. Jesus Christ opened it. You know what? We need to go free and enjoy freedom like He designed us to be. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for your attention tonight. I wonder if there might be one here tonight that would say, Brother Todd,